Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Deborah Dean and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I greet you in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so excited about our study in the Word on tonight, our weekly Bible class. I just give God praise tonight, giving Him reverence, who is my life, the Father, hallelujah. And to everyone in their respective places, Apostle Deans, Ed Deans in his respective place, I just thank God for another opportunity on tonight to study the Word of God with you. I just give praise and thanks for the ones in Radio Land and everybody that's up under the sound of my voice on tonight. I just want to call our Bible study to order on tonight. I'm going to sing a hymn, read a scripture, and pray. Hallelujah. Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. The voice of Jesus house shine on me. Amen, amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 2, chapter 2, starting at the first verse. Why do the heathens rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heaven, in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I have just read you from Psalms chapter 2, verses 1. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you tonight to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask you to forgive us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you on tonight to search our hearts tonight, our minds and our spirit, Father. If there's anything in there, Lord, that should not be mind, we ask you to burn it out, remove it right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask you on tonight, Lord, to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit tonight, and a sound mind, Father. We come right now asking you to bind up the strong man. We asking you, Lord, to bind up the strong man, and bind him, Lord, in every evil and negative way, and every evil and negative thing, Lord. We ask you to bind it right now. Every demonic thing, Lord, that's trying to attack us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, attack our radio broadcast and anyone on it. We ask you right now, Lord, to bind it up and send it out to the abyss in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you on tonight to bless our Bible class and our study in the Word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open up our understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to cover our minds and our thoughts now in the shed blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, expand, Lord, our anointing for the study of your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give it to us, Lord. Open it up our understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, Lord. I'm asking you to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase now and teach your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I have no knowledge of my own, but by Christ, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I know nothing of myself, but by Christ, in the name of Jesus. So I'm asking you, Holy Ghost, to teach on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I be thankful and careful to give you all the praise tonight, all of the glory tonight, all of the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, and for your glory. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just thank and praise God, hallelujah, to be back in our study of the word on tonight. And some of us and most of us that's on the radio broadcast and those that's in radio land, a lot of you all are intercessors. A lot of you all are prophets and apostles. And by the grace of God, these things will help you learn and know what you need to know about prophets. God has me teaching and talking about this thing, not because I want to or not for me, but for you, because we need to know about prophets, the characteristics of a prophet. We all need to know this. Hallelujah. So we'll be talking about this for a few more weeks. Prophets are people of vision. You know, we all have a vision. God has given us a vision. And he won't do anything unless he consults the prophet first, to tell the prophet first. So he's given us a vision. Prophets have to have a vision. They cannot live aimlessly lives. They can't live just any old kind of way. They have to have order. They want to know what the vision is and what we're supposed to be doing. They want to know where we are going. We have to know what's going on. They want to know where the church is going. They ask, what does the future hold? They want to know. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he who keepeth the teaching. Proverbs 29 and 18. We want to know what's going on. And God will show us and tell us. And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who reads it may run. Habakkuk 2:2. We got to have a vision. We got to have some order and some structure to everything we do. The older you get, the more it happens. You want structure. You want order. The prophet is like a spark plug. A spark plug is one who gives life or energy to an endeavor. Prophets are catalysts. It's like it's stimulation or a spark plug or a spur. Prophets help get things moving. Prophets like to get things moving. They hate when things are stagnant and not moving, just lying dormant. They're like a spark that ignites. Their words ignite. Their prayers ignite. Their songs ignite. And I don't care what you're doing, how you do it, when it comes to praise and worship, when it comes to you igniting your prayer closet or igniting prayers or interceding or even if you have to get up and read or say a word for the Lord, when you get up to speak or when you're speaking or when you're testifying, your words ignite, because God put that power and that energy in a prophet, in you, hallelujah. That anointing ignites that word, hallelujah. When a prophet stand up to speak, people know that a prophet is standing. This body, you don't have to say nothing. Don't even introduce yourself. But the word of God that came down on the inside, that praise that's down on the inside, that power that's down on the inside, ignites in the name of Jesus. It ignites in the name of Jesus. It's like a spark. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The prayers that you pray ignite, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, they do. Huh? Even when you're singing a song, I can't even sing them. But when I sing up under the anointing, huh? Glory to God, it ignites, hallelujah, whatever it needs to ignite. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's how God does things. With the prophet. We don't settle for less. Because we know that there is more to come. We know that there is more to do. We know there is more to experience and see. We know there is more to know. Prophets know that there is more to believe. Prophets know, hallelujah, that there is more to happen. We know there is more to see. We know that there is more to hear. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we act or imagine according to the power that work in us. And I'm going to read that again. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond or above all that we act or think according to the power that work in us. That's according to the power and authority that God has given us. That power, that dunamis power that works down on the inside of us. We can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can actually think or imagine according to that power that worketh on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Ignite that spark. In the name of Jesus. That's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Hallelujah. Prophets are contenders. We are fighters. Hallelujah. Contend means struggle to surmount or difficulty or danger. Contend means to struggle to surmount or struggle to do difficult things or dangerous things. To contend means to fight or to battle. Contenders are overcomers. Prophets are fighters and overcomers. Contenders fight for the truth. Contenders fight for justice. Prophets always seem to be fighting something. Prophets can sometimes think, am I the only one fighting this? This is the nature of a prophet. They are fighters. Just like when Elijah thought he was the only prophet left. But he was trying to get out of Jezebel away. Hallelujah. He thought she had killed them all. But the Lord was telling, the Father was telling him, I got many, many more. She didn't kill them all. Beloved, while I diligently try to write to you for the salvation we have in common, I found it necessary to write and appeal to you to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Those who forsake instruction, but such as keep instruction, contend or to fight with them. Proverbs 28 and 4. We are fighters in the word of God. We fight battles. And the battle is not ours. It belongs to God. But we fight for the truth. We fight for what's right. We fight for justice. We fight for the right thing. It's just our nature. Hallelujah. It's the way God built us, the way he made us. To fight for what is right, what we stand on, what's right in the word of God. Prophets are Zadoks. Zadoks were the faithful priests. Zadoks was priests. They were the faithful priests who did not go astray like other Levites. God commended them for their faithfulness and obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you be willing to be obedient to the Lord, oh my God will bless you, bless your socks off. Faithfulness to God is priority with prophets. If we just be faithful to prayer, faithful to study, faithful to read, you know, faithful to worship, faithful. Zadok was also a seer. The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace with your two sons, your sons Ahazamaz and Jonathan, the son of Abathar." Samuel 15:27. But the Levitical priest, the son of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the sons of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God, Ezekiel 44:15. It shall be for the priests who are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, who have kept my charge, who did not go astray when the sons of Israel went astray as the Levites went astray. Ezekiel 48:11. We got to stay focused. We have to stay focused, and we have to stay with a balance. Stay with a balance for the Lord. We have to keep the choice that he's given us. We have to keep it. So, you know, it's like, I don't care what other people do. I don't care what other people say and how they do it. But a prophet better do what God says and say what God says. Not what you think, but it's what God says. Prophets know their people that's assigned to them. They know their good points, and they know their bad points. Jesus knew the Jews and dealt with them strongly. Prophets are honest. Prophets tell their people the truth. And that's what I was just saying, that we fight for, we contend for the truth. When you're a prophet and you've been activated as a prophet, and you know that God called you and ordained you to be a prophet and commissioned, you'll fight for the truth. You'll contend for the truth. One of them, a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and idle gluttons. This witness is true. So rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Titus 1:12-13. We speak to the remnant. Prophet spoke to the remnant in Israel. There was always a true Israel within Israel. They were promised salvation, deliverance, and restoration. The remnant are the faithful. Prophets blessed and encouraged the remnant because they were the faithful. 1 Kings 19:18 says, "Still I have preserved 7,000 men in Israel for myself, all of whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him." Isaiah 37:32 says, "For from Jerusalem shall go out a remnant, and those who escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." Then the dragon was angry with the woman, and she went to wage war with the remnant of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and have the testimonies of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation 12:17. And we will challenge you, the ones that claim to be God's people. Prophets will challenge you. prophets were sent to challenge those who claimed to be God's people. God sent them. The Father sent them. Israel claimed it in name, but denied it in action. Hosea named one of his children Lominium, which meant, ye are not my people. Prophets are concerned about those who are suppressed, supposed to be God's people. I'm sorry. A common phrase throughout scripture is, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's a common phrase in the Old Testament. Prophets want your action to line up with what you claim to be. Then the Lord said, call his name Lo-Ammon, for you are nor my people, and I am not your God. That's Hosea chapter 1, verse 9. We plead. Plead means to present and argue for a position, especially in the court or in any other public content. Prophets plead for those who have no advocate. They plead for those who have no voice. They plead in prayer with God. They plead with their voices. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Proverbs 31 and 9. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1 and 17. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah 59 and 4. We argue for position. When we plead, it's for a position. It's for something. We plead for who have no voice. We try to help those that don't speak up and don't do things. We plead for righteousness. Prophets are God's servants, and they also serve men. They are God's servants, and they also serve men. The term servant implies subservience, and humility. The Hebrew term is ebed, which also has the connotation, that's what that is, of an official or an officer, especially an officer of royal court. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. Prophets serve in official capacities. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 6. Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his purpose to his servant. 37, Amos 3 and 7. And I just want to tell you that even you always keep a servant attitude, a servant humility, because it's what God wants. We have to stay serving all the time. We have to humble ourselves and serve, because that's what God wants us to do. He don't want us to be a doormat, but we have to humble ourselves and serve. Serve other people. serve God and serve man. Prophets are the burning ones. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, seraphim is the word Isaiah used to describe fiery beings that fly around God's throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That's when I was telling y'all, God don't need us to praise him because he already got some seraphim, some angels. It translates in Hebrew to literally burning one. There is a new breed of prophets arising in this season who are sent out by the throne of heaven to deliver the word of the Lord. These prophets are the burning ones for this age. They will speak as the prophets of old, burning with a fire that will not be contained. The word of the Lord in their hearts is like a burning fire. They will ignite the world with this word of God, like a spark plug, just like a spark that ignites prayer, singing, fasting, reading in scripture. It's like a burning fire that can't be contained. Prophets preach the reality, not the shadow. See, it's one thing about us. Excuse me, y'all. When we get up and say something, people listen. And when you bring that word, you can't play with that word. When you bring that word, you got to bring that word. You got to bring it. You can't come playing. You got to bring that word. And it's got to be with power and with might that God gives you. You have to stay humble. You got to bring it. And know what you're talking about. You got to stand on that word, what you're teaching and preaching. You got to. We preach the reality and not the shadow. You can't have sugar lips all the time. Everything you want to preach and talk about, sugar on it. Yeah, we got to sugarcoat it. No, not so. We got to give it just like God give it to us. To bring. The law was a shadow, but Christ is the reality. The shadow types and symbols are fulfilled in Christ. Prophets help us get away from the shadows so we can experience the fulfillment in Christ. Prophets deal with spiritual realities, not shadows. In types such as Passovers, Pentecost, Day of Atonement, and dietary laws, and circumcision, and Sabbath, and the like. But for me, I keep the Sabbath. I observe the Passover and all the feast days if I can, because I try not to separate the Bible. I try my best not to put a separation in the Bible. But God, the law that God, I feel like that they're talking about, that they've done away with, was the law of, like in Leviticus, where they were the sacrificing of the animals and stuff like that, or even when you when a woman come on her monthly and you have to go and stay away from people and all that kind of stuff. But I do feel like if a woman come on her period, she don't have anything, she shouldn't be in the pulpit. But that's not it's me now. It's me. That's how I feel. Because I wouldn't do it. But I don't separate the word of God. I never separate it because I feel like he has never changed his Ten Commandments. God did not change. The Father did not change his Ten Commandments. Now, they could say they done away with this, they done away with that, and did this and did that. But he never changed the Ten Commandments. And he said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And that's exactly what I'm going to do and keep doing it because I feel like that's what he said. But all the other sacrificing and all that with the animals, the blood and all that, that's the law he's talking about. But them Ten Commandments, you better try to keep them. I'm just telling you now. Better try to keep them Ten Commandments. Prophets have ears to hear. If anyone has ears to hear what the Lord is saying to the church, he should be the prophet. Where were the prophets at the seven in the seven churches of Asia? Revelations chapter 1 through 3. The Lord sent a word to the seven churches and was speaking to those who had an ear to hear. The Lord sends his word to the churches and look for those who have the ear to hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give permission to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We have an ear to hear. And when God speaks, that word got to come forth. We have to give it to who he tells us to give it to. And then we listen to a still, small voice. You know, I can't even explain how I can't even explain when I hear his voice, I hear it. It's still. Believe me, it's still. And you can hear it. It don't, Mama God says what he means, and it means what he says. It's not jumbo jibbery jibbery. You can hear it. Sometimes the Lord is not in the wind, the earthquake, or in the fire, but in the still, small voice. The prophet can hear the still, small voice. He can hear it, or we can hear it. We can hear it in the midst of the wind, and in the midst of the earthquake, and in the midst of the fire, because he always reveals it to us anyway. What is God saying that I can hear only when I quiet down and listen to what he's saying deep within? This is what I'm saying. Get quiet, prophet, and let God speak to you in the still small voice, because he does speak in the still small voice. We have to, and I know all of you all know, even in radio land, if you or a prophet, you're going to hear God. You are going to hear him speak. You might think it's your conscience or that's you. But believe me, when he speaks, you're going to know it's him. You're going to know it's him. When you're doing the things that God has called you to do, when you're praying like you're supposed to, when you're reading and studying like you're supposed to, when you're fasting like you're supposed to, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear him. And he's going to tell you what to say and what to do or whatever it is. He's going to give you the directions to do if you listen. Sometimes he may not say but one word. So that's what you say is one word. Don't go trying to put God words in his mouth. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away from it. Quiet. And he'll speak to you. Be quiet. Go to a place in your house. Imagine it's my bedroom. And get quiet. I can go to the prayer room too, but I like to be comfortable so he can go on and speak. He said, go and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind split the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came, a fire came. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice came. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And a voice came to him and said, why are you here, Elijah? That's 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13. We got to get ourselves in a place of meditation. So God can speak to us. We have to meditate. And I want to remind everyone that power and strength belongs to God. Strength comes from God. God is the source of the power and strength. He's the source. Prophets encourage us to draw from God's strength. We should. Psalms 62 and 11 says, God says, there is one thing you can really depend on, and I believe it, that strength comes from God. Oh God, you are awesome from your sanctuary, the God of Israel is. He who gives strength and power to people, blessed be God. Do not fear, that's Psalm 68 and 35. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 and 10. And it's not by our might, nor by our power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. But when the enemy come in like a flood, God lifts up a standard against it. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. All things. Him. So we don't have the strength, but God has the strength. It's not by our might, nor by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's by the Spirit. No program can replace the power of the Spirit. Entertainment does not replace the power of the Spirit. Prophets will cry out whenever churches move away from the power of the Spirit. See, a lot of times we ignore the Holy Ghost. We ignore the Spirit of God. We don't never hardly call on the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And we pray to Jesus and to the Father. But when you start moving and getting away from the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, we moving. That's where that power is. The power is in the Spirit of the Spirit. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It's by the Spirit. And we have to, when I'm telling you, when you start calling on talking to the Holy Spirit, He will talk back. When you start depending more and more on the Holy Spirit, He'll talk back to you. When you ask the Holy Spirit to keep you, He is a keeper. That's what He does. He's a keeper. He's a companion. The Holy Spirit. And he will give you direction, still small voice. The Holy Spirit, when I tell you, it's an experience that only you can experience on your own. I know that. In prophets, we see many sides to God's heart. Many sides. We see compassion. We see hatred of sin and unrighteousness. We see holiness. We see grief. We see encouragement. Power. We see joy. We see zeal, and so on and on. The prophet carries within them the heart of the Father. They feel what the Father feels at different times. That's a difficult thing for us to learn to handle. The prophets can feel as if they are on an emotional roller coaster because we feel some kind of way. Don't fret, prophets, and don't be confused. You're special. You carry within your heart the heartbeat of God. See, David was a man after God's own heart. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to prince over his people or be overseer. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14. We have big heart. Prophets' hearts are so deep and so wide. God gives us his heart. We're in tune with the heartbeat of God. Their heart beats in rhythm with the heart of God. They love what God loves and hate what he hates. This is what makes prophets unique, their heart. Because we go through so much. And even when we praying for somebody, even when we prophesying, we kind of feel what they feel. We feel their condition, and we love them like God would love them. We tell them what God say, tell them. We have the heartbeat of God. That's why a lot of times we feel some type of way. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because they missed their time of visitation. This is the heart of the prophet. The prophet grieves and weeps when people miss what God has for them. This is what breaks the prophet's heart. This kind of stuff. When he comes near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had known even today what things would bring you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Now, we're stirred up by other prophets. Prophets benefit from being in a prophetic community, hearing other prophets' revelations stirs up the prophet. That's why I try to get us all together a lot of times. So we, you know, because it's like iron sharpens iron. And when you stay around a prophetic people, when you stay around, you're going to prophesy. Because that's what it does. Iron sharpens iron. And you prophesy if you want around them, but I'm singing. It's like it make it easier and better. Because the Lord be speaking to you. Stir each other up, and we need to be around each other. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the other judge. If anything is revealed to another that sits by, let the first keep silent. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. 1 Corinthians 14 and 29 through 31. See, the things that matter to other people does not matter to the prophet. Prophets are concerned about things that others overlook. We are not concerned about carnal things. We are concerned about the things of the Spirit. Prophets are often considered to be too deep by carnal people because, you know, a carnal mind can't even realize, begin to think of the things of the kingdom. They won't even understand it. They are often considered troublemakers. Prophets are often considered crazy by disobedient and rebellious. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, are you he that troubles Israel? 1 Kings 18 and 17. The days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel knows. The prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is insane, but of your great iniquity and great hatred, Hosea chapter 9, verse 7. Judgment or justice, mercy, faith, humility, compassion, love, and truth matters greatly to prophets. That's judgment, justice, mercy, faith, humility, compassion, love. And truth matter greatly to prophets. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe mint and deal in coming, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Matthew 23:23. He had told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment, justice, I mean. Show mercy and compassion. Every man to his brother, Zechariah 7 and 9. No one calls for justice, nor matter anyone plead for truth, They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah 54:9. Character also is important to prophets, not just charisma. Prophets are stirred and joyful when they see revival and glory. They are stirred and joyful when they see God's people moving and advancing. They get excited and joyful when they see the people of God in church breaking through barriers and obstacles. They are stirred and joyful when they see the release of power and miracles. They love to see people saved, delivered, and healed. They love it when the backslider returns. They are joyful when they see the things they have been praying for years. They are joyful when they see the poor, neglected, lifted. And they are joyful when they see wickedness defeated and righteousness prevailing. And it's so many things cause us to grieve a lot of times. I grieve a lot, and I stress a lot, and all this other, be irritable a lot. But prophets grieve. They grieve. So on Friday, we'll talk about what causes prophets to grieve. A lot of things. It's a lot of things cause us to grieve. But we'll talk about them then. So I just want to thank and praise God for each one of you. And I hope I haven't been too boring, because I can get like that. I get all into everything. And a lot of times I'll be off into my own little world with the Lord when I be talking about this word. It's a great word, and you know, I just thank and praise God that He allow us to study the word, His word. So I'm so grateful to you all and to you in Radio Land, and I just want to make mention that we will be having our retreat in the last week in October the 28th through the 30th. And I'm probably going to talk to you more about it maybe next week. But we do have the facility in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And we have, I think he said, 24 rooms. And we need to invite women that need to be there to come. Need to be there. It's like $121 per person. That covers your food and board, your food and bed. Mm-hmm. So, and if you have anybody you know that need deliverance, need whatever, God's going to do some things. He's going to do some things at the retreat. It's October 28th through the 30th. If you need more information, please call me, so I can tell you more about it. I got to call him tomorrow. I was intending to do it today, but I didn't get a chance to. But I will, by the grace of God, remember to call him tomorrow and talk about some things. So I just wanted to let you know that. So I'm not going to prolong the hour. I'm going to get ready to close out this mess. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just give you praise and glory. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. We thank you for every person that's up under the sound of my voice. We thank you now. We thank you for their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for being our Father. We thank you tonight. We thank you for opening up our understanding. We thank you for strength and power. We thank you for the authority that you've given us, Father. We thank you for binding up the strong man on tonight, Lord, in everything that he does, Lord. We ask you to bind it up in the name of Jesus and send it back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. Now I ask you now, Lord, to bless everyone that's listening to me now, Lord. Cover them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. And I thank and praise God. Thank you, Lord. You all are dismissed now. If you need to talk to me, you can call me. You know God loves you. And I love you too. God bless you all. Have a blessed night, a good night. Amen.